Mahalo e lau malie, RNZ Pacific News ko hoku hingoa ko Dominic Godfrey. The Prime Minister of Japan says COVID-19 is spreading through his country with unprecedented speed. The Delta variant, originally from India, is the major factor behind the latest wave. Japan is the host country for the Olympics, but the spread in infections is not related to the Games. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield-Hayes reports.
Japan's Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga said the current state of emergency in force in Tokyo will be extended until the end of August and will be expanded to cover the prefectures that surround the capital, as well as the western city of Osaka. Japan's health minister today called the situation in Tokyo extremely severe. COVID wards in the city are already nearly 70% full. Prime Minister Suga again insisted the surge in infections has nothing to do with the Olympics.
In Australia, hundreds of soldiers are being trained this weekend to help enforce Sydney's continuing lockdown. An outbreak of the COVID Delta variant has led to 9 deaths since June. The Mayor of Cumberland in Western Sydney says many people in his city are immigrants who grew up in countries where they had bad experiences with soldiers. Steve Christou says the military shouldn't be enforcing civil laws.
They've deployed the army as a last resort to monitor the most vulnerable of people and ensure and enforce a lockdown, which is very unfair and wasn't enforced in the eastern suburbs, the more wealthier suburbs of New South Wales.
Meanwhile, the State Premier Gladys Berejiklian is urging people not to attend a major anti-lockdown protest planned for Sydney today. She says it could be a death sentence for elderly relatives of the protesters. Fiji has recorded 1,163 new cases in the 24 hours to 8 o'clock yesterday morning. The government has also confirmed 6 more deaths, including an 11-month-old baby. That compares with 1,301 cases and 9 deaths in the previous 24-hour period. Health Secretary Dr. James Fong says a frontline worker was amongst the dead, all of whom were unvaccinated. Fiji now has over 21,000 active cases of the Delta variant in isolation. The death toll stands at 233, with 231 from the latest outbreak that began in April. Fly-in, fly-out seafarers seeking access to spaces in New Zealand quarantine hotels are welcoming an investigation by the Chief Ombudsman. In March, the government declined their request for automatic access to managed isolation. They've been told the Ombudsman's looking closely at how the MIQ system operates for seafarers. Seafarers NZ spokesperson Kevin Judkins says thousands of people are unable to book MIQ spaces because they don't know in advance when they'll disembark their vessels, and also some can't access the internet.
Seafarers, they are indirectly discriminated against because of their satellite-based internet link is too slow to enable them to have a fair crack at getting an MIQ space should it become available.
The Ministry for Business, Innovation and Employment says it welcomes the Chief Ombudsman's input. A new study has found that tuna-dependent Pacific economies are facing a more serious threat from climate change-induced ocean warming than previously forecast. The impacts predicted for the year 2100 look now to be coming 50 years earlier. Kuroi Hawkins reports.
The study found the migration of tuna due to ocean warming may have already begun, and that if global carbon emission reduction targets are not met, all of the 10 Pacific countries studied stand to lose out. The research published in the journal Nature Sustainability found that if ocean warming continues at current rates, the tuna catch in the combined waters of the country studied is expected to decline by an average of 20% by 2050. This is 50 years earlier than previously forecast. The study's lead author, Johan Bell of Conservation International, says it's a climate justice issue, given Pacific countries who contribute the least to greenhouse gases again stand to lose the most.
Fiji's Labour Party leader Mahendra Chaudhry is calling on Fijians not to surrender their legal land leases to the government. The former Prime Minister's plea comes amid debate over the government's plan to amend the land bill. Local government minister Premilil Kumar had urged tenants in informal settlements to surrender their lease documents to allow housing development on Itauke land. But Mr. Chaudhry says residents should not do so. He was among several politician figures taken in by police for questioning over criticism against the government. He claims the government's proposing these arbitrary changes to the Native Lands Act without proper consultation. Mr. Chaudhry said any amendment to the Act will remove protection for landowners and tenants. Meanwhile, Fiji's Speaker of Parliament has rejected three petitions calling for the withdrawal of a government plan to amend the Land Trust Act. The petitions were filed separately yesterday by opposition SODELPA leader Bill Ngavoka, opposition whip Linda Tambuya and MP Jesse Saukuru. But the Speaker, Ratu Epeli Nailatikau, ruled the petitions are out of order and he'd not present it to the House.
I hereby rule that members of Parliament cannot use the submission of a petition under Standing Orders 37 to withdraw Bill number 17 of 2021 from Parliament.
The Speaker said this would only frustrate a process already agreed to by Parliament and is an abuse of the parliamentary process. According to SODELPA, more than 20,000 people had signed the petitions. New Zealand's Pacific Peoples Minister says the Dawn Raids of the 1970s scarred him for life. Aupito William Sio will stand alongside Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern tomorrow at Auckland's Town Hall as the government makes a formal apology for the raids. Between 1973 and the early 80s, police and immigration targeted Pasifika in a campaign against overstayers. Aupito says they were an attack on a proud people and racism of the worst kind. Though the police and immigration officials targeted people from the Pacific, at the time, most overstayers were European. An organisation which provides support to the rainbow community says conversion therapy takes many forms. The New Zealand government has introduced legislation that will make conversion therapy a criminal act, with more serious offences attracting up to 5 years in prison. H. McArdle from Outline says the law needs to clearly explain what's considered conversion therapy and what's not.
It's everything from people setting up shop under the guise of being a mental health provider, but with the specific aim and intention and clientele of people who are being encouraged to convert who they are, right back down to whānau encouraging people to go talk to the family friend who will try and get them over the line and back on the right path.
H. McArdle says conversion therapy can have significant lifelong impacts. To sport, the Fiji women's sevens rugby side is through to the semi-finals of the Tokyo Olympics after shocking defending champions Australia 14-12 in their quarterfinal last night. Aloisi Nagothi gave the Fijians their dream start with a try early on to lead 7-0. Ana Maria Naimasi scored Fiji's second try to extend their lead to 14-0. However, a high tackle by Vasiti Solikoviti saw the veteran sin binned as Fiji was reduced to six players. Faith Nathan grabbed a try back for Australia, but as Fiji's lead was reduced to 14-5 at half-time. The Australians scored a late try, but it wasn't enough as Fiji progressed to the semi-finals, where they'll meet New Zealand later today for a place in the gold medal match. Michael Venus and Marcus Daniel hope their Olympic bronze medal inspires the next generation of New Zealanders to pick up a tennis racket. Venus and Daniel have become the first New Zealand tennis players to win an Olympic medal in 109 years, after beating Americans Austin Krajicek and Tennis Sandgren in the men's doubles bronze medal match in Tokyo. Daniel says they hope it kickstarts interest in the sport back home.
I really hope that it's inspiring to a younger generation of Kiwis and gets people to pick up some tennis rackets and really see it as a high-performance sport and an Olympic sport, and I hope we can get a really good engine going and produce some more players.
The bronze followed two golds and a silver at the rowing on day seven of the Games, taking New Zealand's medal tally to eight. New Zealand's guaranteed at least another bronze after David Nika secured a place in the semi-finals of the heavyweight division in Tokyo. Reigning Olympic sailing champions Peter Burling and Blair Chuk have risen to the second in their 49er fleet in Enoshima. Paul Snow Hansen and Dan Wilcox are third overall in the men's 470, and Rio bronze medalist Sam Meach has qualified eighth for tomorrow's laser medal race. Madison Lee Wish has thrown a personal best in qualifying for the women's shot put to join Dame Valerie Adams in tomorrow's final. Camille Buscombe failed to qualify for the final of the 5,000 metres after finishing 14th in her heat. And that's the latest RNZ Pacific news and sport.